Would you join me in prayer as we look into the Word of God here? Father, we come before you to thank you for this morning. Thank you so much that we have the privilege, as sinful people saved by your grace, Lord, to come before your throne of grace. And Lord, thank you for your Word. We pray that you speak to our hearts, that the Spirit of the living God will open up our hearts and our minds to the understanding and living these words out. In your name we pray. Amen. I hope that you have come to understand Israel a little bit more. The chapters here relate so much to that, and you say, why are we learning all that? I'm not Jewish. I don't know any Jewish people. We don't have a big ministry with Jewish folks and so forth. Well, there are a couple reasons. I think they're really important. First of all, I think sometimes we get a tendency to look into the Word of God and pick and choose what it is that we want. But the Word of God from the beginning in Genesis to the end of Revelation, well, it's the Spirit of God's given that to us. And there's a reason why he gave that to us, so that we can learn it, discover it, grow in it. There's great purpose in it. So because it is the Word of God, we want to learn. We want to understand. And so the chapters in Romans chapter 9 to 11, these are three chapters that relate a lot to Israel. And we want to know what it's about. It is God's heart. It is God's chosen people. It is God who wants to do things with them. And then, ultimately, in the future, that he will bless them again, and he will use them and fulfill his promises. The second thing, a big reason too, as well, as we look into these things, we discover the principles of God, the kingdom of God. And we can understand how that relates to us in so many ways. Like last week, one of the things that's so important for us to understand is that God doesn't lie. God always fulfills his promises. When he says something, he's going to do it. As he called Israel, as he chose Israel, from the moment he called Abraham out, he was going to accomplish that, no matter what happens. As we read through this passage in chapter 11, we want to go back again to understand that somehow the Jewish folks, the Israelites, and the nation of Israel rejected the gospel. We rejected Jesus Christ. We know that. 2,000 years ago, they shouted. In fact, next week we'll be celebrating that, the Palm Sunday entrance. And later on, they shouted, crucify him, crucify. Here is their Messiah that they've been looking for, the promised Messiah. And instead of embracing Jesus, they actually crucified him. And so you see that they rejected him. Afterwards, of course, a lot of Jewish people came to know the Lord. But ultimately, there are very few Jews that gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And for the last 2,000 years, Israel was, in a sense, rejected Christ. But nevertheless, God kept them. There's a remnant. We learn about that. There's a remnant there that is still there, lingering on. And for 2,000 years, this nation, probably the only nation in the Middle East that survived 2,000 years, exists again because God has plans for them. And as we look through this passage, we're seeing something that I just, when I read it and I studied it, I was just really enthralled about what I saw. And that is, I saw my God, my Lord, as a God who gives second chances. I mean, is there anybody that deserves second chances less than Israel? The things that they did. In the Old Testament, they killed all the prophets. Remember last week we talked about Elijah and how during his time, there was almost nobody left. Except God kept that remnant of 7,000. In the prophets, there were only 100 left because they were getting executed and killed. If you serve God, you are going to be punished. That's what they did. Not just during that time, but throughout. And then later on, certainly how they faced and met Jesus. And then 2,000 years later, are there any other kinds of people deserving less of God's grace than the Jewish people? But because God has called them, because God has chosen them, because God has called them out, and because of that, God continued to work with them, and he gave them second chances. So today I want to share with you some thoughts here in this passage. Long passage, hopefully you can read it and study a little bit more. We can't cover everything about it, but I want to speak about the God of second chances that we worship today. First of all, I want to talk about the silver lining in God's plan. Silver lining. You know, you get a real dark cloud. I think we're getting some outside. If we go out later, we might see that. But always there's a silver lining on the side, at the edge of it. So here, the Jewish folks rejected Jesus. And Paul talks about that. They rejected the gospel. Why? Because they had their own. They had their own righteousness. They had their Judaism. They had their ways. They planned it out. This is how you are saved. This is how you get eternal life. This is what it means to be the chosen people. This is it. Thousands of rules. But they did it. They did it their way. They thought it was right. But God said, no, that's not the way, because you can never receive my righteousness in your life. You can never do that, no matter what you do. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's nothing you can do. You might move a little closer than others, but you cannot come anywhere near what my righteousness demands. And the only way to get that righteousness, you know, we went through Romans already for 40-something weeks, okay? You know what that is. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. And so that's the only way. But the Jewish people didn't want that. They didn't want to believe in Jesus. They didn't want another way. They wanted their way. They wanted their religion. They wanted their methodology. But Paul said, no, that doesn't happen. The only way you can have righteousness is by faith. And if you have faith, it doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. It doesn't matter. You have faith, you can do it. They didn't like that. And so they rejected Jesus, they rejected the apostles and disciples and all those that were sharing the gospel. The Jewish people chased them out. There were persecution all throughout. Even though initially the Christians were primarily Jewish people, eventually they were not anymore. But the silver lining in all that, as Paul talks about here, is this. It's a wonderful silver lining. The silver lining is because of the rejection by the Jews, as a result, the Gentiles gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And the gospel message went into the Gentiles, to the Gentiles. And Paul himself was the apostle to the Gentiles. You say, wait a minute, what if the Jews would have accepted Jesus? What would have happened? Then you wouldn't need that, right? No, you wouldn't, because the Jews would have brought the gospel to the Gentiles. The Jews themselves would have gone all over the world to present the gospel. The missionaries and the evangelists, they would be Jewish, inclusive of all that. But because they rejected Jesus, the gospel went to the Gentiles. And so that silver lining is there. That wonderful silver lining is because of that, as a result, I mean, the gospel just went forth. They went all throughout the Roman Empire. And ultimately for us, most of us here, our heritage, people went to China. People went to Hong Kong. People went to Taiwan. People went to all those places that were not Jewish by any stretch. But they went there. I love the silver lining story because I believe that. You know, sometimes our lives are full of dark clouds too. You know, there's all kinds of situations that happen. As a pastor, Barbara and I, we have experienced this stuff. We have experienced it through other people. And because of what we do, we have heard enough stuff, embraced people that have gone through some really, really tough times. Sometimes broken marriages, sometimes diseases, sometimes really difficult situations that happen to people. We can recall many, many of these situations. You know, sometimes you're there and you don't know what to do. All you can do is pray. Sometimes all you can do is hug the person. You know, how do you speak to a mom who lost her only son? Remember, that's one of my first incidents of being a pastor. To just hug on this mother in a hospital after her son had a massive heart attack. It's the first time I've ever seen a person who died. And I had to kind of be there to be the pastor and to hug the mom who just couldn't do nothing else but cry and cry and cry and cry. How do you handle something like that? I didn't know how. It's hard. Did it many more times since. But what do you do with that? But there are silver linings to these things, and you ask, what is it? And it's hard to say at that point. But later on, when you look back, you see the things that happen because of it, people coming together, situations, and on, you can say, wow, God had a plan that at that time I didn't know. I mean, many of you know the story of Joni Erickson, of course, the young girl that dove into a pool and broke her neck. You know what happened there? How much worse could it be for her and for her family? Now she's paralyzed for life. You know the story afterward. I don't even have to describe it. How she gave her life to the Lord. And God used her, using her teeth, to be able to paint beautiful pictures. And not only that, now she has ministry to millions of people, particularly the handicapped folks. Millions of people. The silver lining that God gives to us is unbelievable. And this is exactly what he's talking about here. Paul is saying, yes, I know my people, the Jewish folks, they turn away from God. But because of that, The Gentiles gave their lives to Jesus Christ. The silver lining is amazing. I don't know about you, if you have any situations in your life even now that may be struggling over something that's difficult. I want to tell you something. Our God is a good God. We just sang about it. He has reasons for things. He allows us to pray and embrace people and say, God can change things. And if he doesn't change it, there's some reasons for it. The reasons can be way beyond even what I'm suffering through today. God has a great silver lining. And leads me to the second point, which is he's a God of second chances. Now I'm going to ask the PowerPoint, you can go to the next picture. There's some stories here that's pretty important for us to know. You might not understand it. There are two illustrations here that Paul uses that's important for us to understand. You say, what is he talking about here? Why is he using this illustration? The first one is not this picture. The first one is talking about a lump of dough, literally dough. If you don't know what he's talking about, why is Paul putting there? It comes from Numbers chapter 15. This is what it's about. See, back in those days when the Jewish folks, they're worshiping the Lord, and this is what God told them to do. Now, they're not rich people. They didn't have a lot of currencies and things like that. Everything's kind of there. They barter with things, you know, whether it's an animal, whether it's some gold and pieces like that, or literally bread. This is what the people were told to do. That when you're making bread, you do this dough. I guess it must be real big. I'm not a baker. I have no idea what that means, all right? You squeeze things, right? And you get this dough, and you're going to bake this bread. They eat out of that. But before they did that, what they would do is they would take a piece of it. They call it the first fruit. It can be the first fruit, you know, of all kinds of things, but with this is the first fruit. They take that dough, the first fruit, a piece of it, they break it off, and then they go to the temple. They go to wherever it is, and they give that to the Lord. That's what it's about. They give that to the Lord. And the temple priests actually will take these things, these dough, these bread, thing, and that's how they survive from it. And that's found in Numbers chapter 15. And what is Paul talking about here? What is number talking about? You see, what happens is when you dedicate that piece to the Lord, you know what it's called? It's called holy. Being holy means setting it aside for the Lord, sanctifying it, setting it aside. And if that piece is holy, then the whole dough is holy. That's what God is telling them. So if you want your life, if you want possession, if you want your family, you want whatever it is to be holy, that God will sanctify, separate it for his holiness and goodness and work, you separate that. You take a piece of it. You're telling God, this is my, well, living. My thing, I want to give it to you because you own all of it. I want you to take it and sanctify it and make it holy. So that's what Paul was talking to you about. Now you say, what does that mean here? He's describing Israel. What it is Israel is something that God has taken and it is holy to him. That first piece of it, it's really important. Now let's go to the second illustration. This is pretty important too. This illustration, I studied this a little bit. I know nothing about it as well, other than what the Word of God says. And in my study of what in the world is grafting? I didn't know you can do that, all right, other than the Scripture who says. This is what grafting is about. It talks about an olive tree. Did you know that olive trees can live a long, long time? In fact, I am told that if you went to Israel, you probably can find olive trees that lived during the days of Jesus and still alive today. The oldest olive tree I read is about 3,000 years old, and I think that is on an island of Crete. So in Israel, there are olive trees because they use olive oil and stuff like that. That's really important. But the olive trees are like this. They get very old. They produce. But what happens is some of the branches aren't any good. And so as they care for these trees, this is what they would do. They would cut those branches off, and that's important because he talks about it here. Paul talks about the Lord cutting branches off. They cut the branches off and they engraft other branches. These branches are from other olive trees. They can be from wild olive trees. Now, they're not this olive tree here, but they will come from another olive tree, and this is how they do it. They cut the branch and they start trimming it down, and they take this new branch, which they call a scion. I thought scion was a car only, but it actually means a scion. Scion means a shoot. It's a shoot from another tree. And they trim it, and they put it in such a way, and they tie it up like this that you can see here in the picture. And if they do it right, eventually, over weeks, and that new branch becomes a part of this tree. That's amazing. And because that new branch has new life in it, it produces good olives. But it's basically from the original tree. The old branch is no good anymore. They can't produce anything, so they cut off and just thrown out, as the scripture says. And this is what it is. And so Paul is illustrating the church. What is the church? So he talks about the lump that was, you know, sanctified and set aside holy. Also, he talks about this branch, this tree, that the root is the original root. It is a root that God has called out in beginning with Abraham. This is the church. This is Israel and the church together. It is based upon that. It's never left. It's never changed. It's always that. It's always been that. But because of the unbelief of the Jews, and also later on, as the gospel goes forth, you and I, we are all wild branches. We're not from the original. We're not Jewish. We're not from the original. But God, the Lord Jesus, isn't that exciting? He took us, wild branches that have no business being in the kingdom of God. He took us and grafted us into this great tree, this kingdom that he has called together. I want to tell you, that is awesome. So when somebody says, you know what, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. I don't deserve the grace of God. I don't deserve anything of that. You can tell, oh, no, no, we don't. None of us do. But God, the Lord Jesus, is willing to graft you in. He will take you and put you in there and make you a part of his kingdom. I think that's awesome. Now what does he say? Why were the old branches cut away? The old branches were cut away because they bore no fruit. They were cut away because they were not believers. They did not believe, even though they were a part of this tree. They were part of Israel. The Jewish people didn't want to believe. And as a result, what did the guy do? He cut it off. God cut him off. They were all cut off. So it's based on belief. Okay? It is not based on work. It's nothing that you could do. You can't graft yourself into the tree. You're just a branch out there. Jesus has to take you, pick you up, bring you to that tree. You are a scion. You are a shoot. That's all you are. He has to cut it up and graft you in and lovingly put you in there. Amazing. So go back to the God of second chances. I love it. I love it because you know what? I know I'm a sinner. That's who we are. We sinners don't deserve the grace of God at all. We've done things, some terrible things, and no matter what, all beneath the righteousness of God. And God gives us a second chance. Gives us a second chance. Sometimes, you know what, we hear the gospel again and again and again. Sometimes we hear it for weeks and weeks and months, some even years, and we don't respond to God. But nevertheless, he continues to call out to us. He continues to want to put us in that tree. He wants to graft us in. He gives us a second chance. And eventually, we do. I want to tell you, one of the things that I look forward to all the time is leading someone to Jesus Christ, particularly those I've heard for so long. And you're like, this is no hope. This is no hope, you know? That's why Barbara and I, you know, we believe in prayer. Especially if you're praying for your children, your family, your friends, you know. It's so long, there's just no hope, it seems. But there is hope if you pray, because God is not giving up. If God doesn't give up, we don't need to give up. And it goes on a little bit here. The passage, I love this. And here's Paul talking about the Jewish people who rejected Jesus. And what does he say? He said that someday they're going to come back. Even for those who rejected the Messiah, even for those who shouted crucify him, even for those who lived that out, God is still saying, I want to give them a second chance. They are going to get a second chance. There'll be one day. In fact, if you follow with the scriptures and finishing Romans, and if you go all the way to Revelation, you will know that someday, the Jewish people will turn their hearts to Jesus Christ in droves. The nation itself will just turn to the Lord. These people will give their lives to Jesus. They will suffer a lot. They will be persecuted in ways that we can't imagine. But they will. They will give their lives to Jesus Christ. We're doing a Sunday school class, and we're talking about some of these things a few weeks back. And as you see and look in Israel right now, look at the Middle East, look what's happening there. You're beginning to see the beginning of that. Awesome things that are happening. Second chances, not only for us, but also for the Jewish people as well. So I want to encourage you today. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on situations. Don't give up, because you need to know that our God is a God of second chances. Our God will always give someone a second chance. And so we need to do that too. One last thing before we close. It does say something here that's pretty rough, a little scary. He talks about the severity of his actions. I think it's really important that we need to understand that God is a kind God. He's a good God. He says it right here in verse 22, the kindness, but there's a severity as well. In other words, what we need to understand is there's so many things going on sometimes that we just abuse the kindness of God. And our branches today, in this tree, this great kingdom tree, a lot of the branches are just not producing. You know why? They're just falling away from the Lord. You know, when we look at statistics, again, statistics are statistics. You can make it to anything you want it to be. But 7,000 churches closing every year in America, that's a terrible, terrible statistic. But it's not just that. There are all kinds of stuff going on. The gospel message is being watered down. Our theology is weakening. You know, people are just throwing things in. And that's why I say, you know, when we look at the scriptures, we got to read the scripture. We can't just pick parts and pieces of it. We have to read it all. Because there's a lot of things we don't want to look at. You know, in our days when we were studying and in seminary and so forth, it was always about liberalism, you know, how people just didn't believe in the Word of God. They didn't believe in all of it. They'll believe in some of it. They won't believe in Genesis chapter 1 or 2 and 2. They won't believe some of the histories of it. And eventually they will also go into a place where, you know, the gospel message is not really about that. So there's a weakening of it. But now that's almost not even a struggle anymore. Many churches today are so weak on this. And many churches today is nothing like what God wants it to be, wants us to be. And the Word of God is so watered down that a lot of people, frankly, don't know the Word of God at all. So we need to get back to that, because God says to those who fell severity. And he says, when he talks about that, he talks about, otherwise you'll be cut off. That word severity is, in the Greek word, is a word that's just, you know, cut off. It's just like a pruning thing. If you have it in your tree, you just clip, it's gone. That branch is gone. It is so important for us to understand that God is not going to put up with this stuff. He will not. He is grafting people into his kingdom. And those that are in it, oh boy. We need to be careful that we are doing what God wants us to do, because otherwise, he said right there, also will be cut off in verse 22, the last part of it. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. See, it is all about believing God. It is all about taking the Word of God and saying, you know what, God, this is your revelation. This is what it is. I believe in your Word. I want to know your Word. I want to love your Word. This is what it's all about. You know what, by God's grace, God's people will continue so. But sometimes, you know, when we look at our society, it's not looking good. I know that in Europe, they went through this. Once upon a time, Europe was an unbelievable bastion of Christianity. In the 1700s, 1800s, 1900s even. What a great place in which missionaries, great ministers were sent out all over the world, evangelizing the world in the context of the gospel message. But now if you go there, you will find very few indeed. There are some. There's still a remnant. There's always a remnant. Wherever it is, there's a remnant. And God does that. But my goodness, if we ever get to a place where we are like Europe, I mean, you can see the churches are nothing but, well, museums, beautiful ones, but museums. And they are used now. They're sold to mosques. They're sold to restaurants, all those things. We got to be careful that that doesn't happen. But our God is a God of second chances. If you today need a second chance, I want to tell you, God is here. Your friends that you've been praying for, your family members, oh boy, they're struggling. You know what? Don't give up on them yet. Not yet. Our God is a God of second chance. Pray for them. Trust that God will do great and awesome things for them. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the message that you've given to us. that you love us, you care about us. And Lord God, you are in the business of saving us. Thank you so much for the privilege that we have to know you. And I want to pray and ask, Lord God, that you will let us see the silver lining in the difficult things of our lives, the struggles that we may be in, that you're doing something new, you're doing something great. And Lord God, would you give us a heart that believes that you give second chances. Oh Lord, would you as well give us that heart, that we will reach out to people and embrace them for you in hope that they will respond to you, the chance that they will get from you, Lord. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.